Samuel, what did you think of the Dear John letter today that OU and Texas sent to the Big 12?
I never thought I'd see Texas and Oklahoma send a joint letter together to do anything. obviously, it just makes clear what the inevitable is they're on the way out, and this has clearly been in the works for a while, which certainly to the dismay of their fellow Big 12 members. But Oklahoma and Texas are making a power move to try and increase revenue and get into a conference that is amongst the best in class in facilities and revenue and all of the above. And so this is a long-term play for them. It certainly harms the other eight remaining schools in the Big 12, and it's going to change the sports landscape forever, in my opinion.
Sam, in your opinion, was the Big 12 broken at any point? Was there something that made the light bulbs go on even brighter at OU and Texas to say, you know what, maybe we should start kicking the tires on this?
I think they've always been vulnerable since the last major realignment cycle back in 2010 and 11, when they landed on just 10 members and they never did expand. And of course, I'm sure you remember in 2016, they went through that whole ruse of exploring expansion and not adding anybody, and after making 11 different schools present. I think it's a culmination of things. I think it's the number of members. I think it's the lack of success at the highest level. They have not even appeared in national championship games since 2009 when Texas lost to Alabama when Colt McCoy was quarterback. They haven't won any playoff games in the playoff era. And I think the straw that broke the camel's back for Texas and Oklahoma is the fact that when the Big 12 went to the TV networks, ESPN and Fox, to gauge the interest on renegotiating the broadcast contract after it's up in 2024-25, the response was tepid from the networks. And that was in May. And so they're like, nah, we're not really super interested in it. And that response from ESPN and Fox came 5 months after ESPN gave a 10-year, $3 billion deal to the SEC.
Yeah.
So to Texas and Oklahoma, it's like, hey, now you know exactly where the Big 12 is on the pecking order in the eyes of the networks. And I think that is probably what accelerated this move.
But you know what, Sam? We could have told the Big 12 the same exact thing. They couldn't have been stunned at the fact that TCU, Baylor, Oak State, K-State, Kansas, and I can go on and on and on, Tech, they don't move the needle on the national radar scene. So why would the Big 12 think that all of a sudden they could play big boy money with the SEC when you know they can't? Strictly from a interest level, even when like Auburn is down or Florida is down or Georgia is down, that fan base, that regionalization of that super powerful part of the country, I mean, it crushes any sort of regional interest that the Big 12 gets with those teams in trying to petition themselves to be a national brand.
No doubt. And the reason why I think the Big 12 as a whole has been caught off guard by this is because there still is four full years left on the grant of rights. Actually, five, I guess, expires in June 30th of 2025. And so I think that's what surprised everybody was the timing of this, because I've talked to, you know, people across the industry in this last week, and the message has been the same, is that everybody knew this day was coming. They just didn't know it was coming now. And I think what accelerated it was the response in May from ESPN and Fox to renegotiating the contracts. And I think this ends up, to me, becomes a manifestation of the decision not to expand at some point. I think in 2016, they probably would have been better off expanding. They probably would have been better off taking in a couple of teams, whether it was Houston or Cincinnati or UCF or whoever, somebody that could potentially rise up and have, I mean, these are programs I'm mentioning that have won New Year's Six bowl games. Yeah. I mean, UCF went undefeated. Cincinnati, you know, went undefeated. Houston, of course, went and won a Peach Bowl. These are programs that are pretty good in the college football landscape. And I think if they had expanded, it could have helped them. Now, would it have solved the long-term problem? That I don't know. It's too hard for me to say. But I think they should have done something rather than staying bad.
Sam Khan, The Athletic, please check out his articles. Check out that website. It's terrific sports journalism with zero fluff. It brings the facts, and Sam does a great job and has for a long period of time. I love looking at the ESPN crawls and seeing how Oklahoma State's president ripping on Oklahoma. Texas Tech feels blindsided. Everybody that is currently a part of the Big 12 feels like they have been blindsided by this. What is Oklahoma State? I mean, what is Oklahoma State back to Oklahoma State? Sorry, Charlie. Or they must have thought they were together in some sort of grand plan, but that was clearly not the case.
Yeah, I think that's the one reason why the reaction from Stillwater has been pretty strong is that in the last realignment cycle, Oklahoma and Oklahoma State kind of moved in concert. And the way things have been structured in that state, it always seemed like those two schools were going to move in step with each other. And clearly that hasn't been the case. That's one thing about this move is it's going to leave a lot of broken friendships and hurt feelings within the Big 12. I mean, Joe Castiglione, the Oklahoma athletic director, was one of the most well-respected athletic directors in the country. And I can promise you that there are some friendships and relationships that are damaged from this after the way this played out. To say nothing of Texas, of course, which I think, you know, people understand, I think, what you're getting into with Texas.
Right.
But I don't know what the thing is. I don't know what the options are for those other schools. They're going to try and play out the contingencies and hope that they can get into another league that can keep them of comparable media revenue. But I don't know how good those chances are, because how many of those other schools will, like you said earlier, move the needle and increase value for a Pac-12 or an ACC? I don't know that it does. And if it doesn't, then their best play may end up being staying together and trying to expand and add some teams from another conference like the American.
So let me ask you this. Do you think if you're the Big 12, if Bob Bowlesby was to grab you for 5 minutes and said, first of all, nice hat, great looking suit. Secondly, if he said, what should I do? Would option A be, in my mind, go grab four teams, get to 12, and see what the landscape looks like in the next 5 to 7 years? Or would it be, you know what? Kick the tires with the Pac-12 and try to create a 20-team league. What do you think would be the best option for those 8 remaining schools in the conference?
I think from a financial standpoint, trying to partner up with somebody like the Pac-12 is a better play, but that's from a finances standpoint. It makes that a difficult fit, in my opinion, just because of the nature of the geographics. I think the better play for the Big 12 long term, and it's going to hurt financially. And I don't think there's any doubt the impact this is going to have financially on those other schools, because their media rights payouts are going to suffer significantly once Texas and OU are out of this league. But I think their better play might just be to hold tight and try to grab four programs and get to 12. I think there is an appeal, especially for the Texas schools. If you were to bring Houston and SMU in, and you had Houston, SMU, Baylor, Texas Tech, and TCU, I know for the Baylor, Texas Tech, TCU fans, maybe that's not super attractive, but, you know, I grew up with Southwest Conference, and that's about a little bit more than half of Southwest Conference right there. And I think if you're not going to be on the level of the SECs and the Big Ten financially, which they're clearly not going to be, then why not make it a little bit more attractive and a little bit easier for fans to travel and provide an interesting experience where you bring back some of that local flavor and regional rivalries that is part of what used to be part of the fabric of college football before we got into this era.
But aren't those schools now in their minds preparing for even a worse television meeting than they had before with ESPN and Fox? Because
absolutely,
the two juggernauts are out of the league. I mean, who is the big dog now in the Big 12 conference? What school can say, all right, they left, it's our turn to take over this league? Not from an athletically standpoint, I'm talking about from agenda setting, persuasion, where the league goes.
That's really hard to say. I would have to probably point at either Oklahoma State. I mean, they're the ones that have moved the needle the most. If you look at TV ratings over the last several years, outside of Texas and Oklahoma, Oklahoma State's probably the next one that moves the needle. TCU has had some pretty stable leadership. Baylor, over the recent years, their president and their athletic director, Mac Rhodes, of course, people in Houston know. I know Mac is very, very much well versed in this type of stuff. So, I mean, I could see them, but it's hard to say. It really is. I don't think there is a dominant, school that can take the forefront and take the bull by the horn, so to speak. And that's what makes it a little bit difficult, because this league tethered itself to two tentpole programs, Oklahoma and Texas. And now they're leaving. So they're kind of flailing out in the wind at this point.
Any chance that the league will not make it? I mean, we're talking about buyouts for OU and Texas leaving before 2025, correct? And if we are, we're talking about how much money to the conference itself.
Each school will have to pay out $80 million to get out.
And they have zero problem doing that.
I can't imagine. So when you consider how much money they're going to be getting from a new SEC TV deal, I don't think it's going to be it's a significant hurdle, but I don't think it's one impossible to clear for them.
All right. In 10 years, this is you putting your college football hat on in the future. Are we going to have 64 teams playing in four super conferences?
I think it's really possible. And that's the thing. Here's what I'll say. Beyond the super conference idea, I think where this is headed is, and this is a common theme for people I've talked to in the industry, I think we're heading closer and closer to the sport breaking off and being separate from all the other sports in terms of governance. That at some point, college football will not be an NCAA thing, but it'll be its own thing. And now whether it's the entire FBS division or whether it's just these power conferences who have the lion's share of the cash and power, I think it's probably the latter. But, you know, they're that Super League that back in European soccer that was theorized back earlier this year that got shut down really quickly. Like, we could be heading towards something like that. I really do think it's possible with all the sea change in the sport right now. And something like this that stacks the deck so far in the SEC's favor. The Big Ten, obviously, is right there in revenue with the SEC. There's not a league that can compete with that. And so I think we're heading toward a very unpredictable road in college football, whether it's super conferences or just a governance structure change in the sport.
And last question, any thought to the eight members still in the Big 12 while saying they're going to join together and work to the best interest of all the other member institutions? Is Texas Tech lobbing a phone call to the Pac-12? Is Kansas lobbing a phone call to the Big 10? Is West Virginia having serious conversations with the ACC? How likely do you think this thing could split up and we could see everybody just looking for a mad dash to find a place to play?
Absolutely. It's part of the equation. And none of those presidents and athletic directors would be doing their job if they didn't game out those contingency plans, because those options are the best means of financial survival for them, of keeping the revenue at a comparable level to what it is now. And the reason that's so important is because this has real consequences, because if their media rights revenue gets sliced in half, that's going to be devastating to those athletic departments. So we're talking layoffs on staff and the people and things of that sort. They've got debt service on these buildings and facilities they got to pay out. These are real consequences. But that's the first option I think that a lot of these schools are going to take and find out what the temperature is. And if there is, if they can find a life raft to get on, then probably get on it. But aside from that, the only other option I think is trying to stay together, hold on to your Autonomy 5 status in the legislative structure, and try to expand and survive for the long term. And the other thing about that is, I'll add as a caveat, is if any of those schools were trying to leave early, they have to be on the hook for the same money that Texas and OU would be to pay out.
And they don't have it. They don't have that money.
Yeah.
They don't have it.
Not to that degree. So nope. So that's why you've got to approach this very carefully as they take their next step.
All right. What are people finding on The Athletic with you guys this weekend about all these stories?
Everything. Golly. I tell you, this is all that's dominating the college football page is realignment, is what it means for Texas OU, what it means for the SEC, what it means for the remaining eight, and how it impacts the rest of the country. So theathletic.com, college football page, our staff is kicking butt right now.
And a reminder again, it would cost $80 million for anybody to leave the Big 12, no matter what conference they went to,
if they leave before the end of the grant of rights in 2025.
Perfect. Samuel, my friend, thanks for the short notice. I appreciate you joining me. Great information as always, and we'll look forward to reading your work on The Athletic, a great, great website.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
You got it, Sam. Talk to you soon, friend.